Hello, everybody. Mark Carlson here, SNEA Technical Council Chair. Welcome to the STC Podcast. Every week, the STC Podcast presents important technical topics to the developer community. Each episode is hand-selected by the SNEA Technical Council from the presentations at our annual Storage Developer Conference. The link to the slides is available in the show notes at snea.org/podcast. You are listening to STC Podcast Episode 6. Today, we hear from Jorge Campello, Director of Systems and Solutions with HGST, as he presents SMR, the Next Generation of Storage Technology, from the 2015 Storage Developer Conference.
Shingled magnetic recording is a new mode of performing magnetic recording. So in traditional, what we call perpendicular magnetic recording, the data is written on the media as a set of concentric tracks. And as you write them as independent tracks. What happens as you scale is that these tracks get smaller and closer together, but they still remain as independent tracks. And that's what we've been doing in magnetic recording for a long time. We got to a point where, in order to continue to pack more data within the same area, we shifted to this mode where, instead of writing the tracks independently, we write them as these sets of overlapping tracks. And one of these sets of overlapping tracks, we call it a zone. And in between zones, you have this little gap. So if you look at the picture of what we call PMR versus SMR, you see that these gaps between tracks only occur every so often into these bigger packs that are called zones. This looks great, you know. It looks like I fit more of these patterns on the same area. But it comes with this caveat. And the caveat with this, which is intrinsic to the recording mechanism, is that while the zones themselves are independencies, you cannot change, I'm saying here sector, because that's how you usually talk to an HDD through the interface, but you can't change sectors within a zone independently. Because when you write it, you overwrite the track next to it. And then the question comes, okay, awesome, so what now? So we've been at the what now for a few years now. And you know, I in these corporate communications trainings that we have, they say, look, you have to say the same message 7 times for it to stick. This is the 3rd year I've been coming around talking to people about SMR, so I still have 4 to go. But there are a set of standards that have been worked on within T10 and T13 called ZBC or ZAC. ZBC would be the T10 version and ZAC the T13 version of it. Now, why SMR? You know, it's the question, and we say, well, because we can increase aerial density. If you embrace this technology, you're on a curve that grows quicker than if you don't embrace it. There are other technologies coming around, and you might have heard of Hammer or Bit Pattern Media or Mammer and all kinds of different technologies. And while they all will increase aerial density, there's always going to be this difference of how quickly they grow if you adopt SMR or not. So the industry made this decision to make this transition into SMR. And we are just about finalizing the standards. They're kind of in a stable mode in T10. And in T13, you know, almost there. And now we're at the point where, okay, let's develop storage solutions for these things. So what are these solutions that we came up with a standard, right? So how do we solve that problem that you can't write things independently? Well, can't you just let the drive do it? Why even bother, right? Why are you talking to us, bothering us, making us change software stack and all that? Okay, that's one model, one approach you can go. It's what we call the drive manage model. The other approach is, why do you guys in the drive industry want to do all these things? We in the host side, we know much better. We have more resources and visibilities. Why don't you just let the host manage the problem? Okay? We have the host managed model. And the question, isn't there something in between? Yep, there is. We call it the host aware model. And these are basically the three models that we've been talking about in the industry over the last couple of years. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time talking about these three different models and see how they differ and what they mean for the system. Okay, again, at a high level, these three different models. Drive Manage, in principle, has no software impact on the host. It's designed as the drive does everything under the hood. So you don't have to change anything in your system, right? As you'll see, there's some caveats in that the performance characteristics and your overall behavior is going to be different than what you were used to. And one of the things that happened in the storage industry over the last couple of decades is that much more than what comes through the interface standard has been ingrained into host-side solutions. Their expectations as to if I'm using lower, LBA numbers, that these are located in certain positions in a disk. And if I do IOs of a certain type, I'll expect certain type of latencies and performance characteristics. And those will change quite a bit when you embrace a drive managed model. But from a software point of view, if you're just talking about run it and not getting any software errors, that would work. The host manage is completely different. It's the opposite side of the spectrum, which is it just won't work. It's identified as a different device type. I mean, you're lucky if your hardware lets you talk to it, let alone your software. Right, so it's at opposite side of the spectrum. And then you'll see that the host aware tries to bridge this gap somewhere in the middle, letting you do more of the management on the host as you feel comfortable with it, but letting the drive pick up the heavy lifting for areas where you feel that either it's too hard for you to do it or that the performance impact is not going to be so great that you would bother changing your host side software for it. Right, so these are the basic characteristics. So now back to how we figured this out from a standard point of view. So what we did is we created this device model, which we called a zone block device. And the zone block device is characterized by partitioning your LBA space. In this case here, it goes from 0 to M minus 1, right? M blocks, that's your whole LBA range. And it's partitioned into these N zones. Now, zones can be of three types. You know, at a high level, there's two types. One is conventional, meaning that you would address them as you would any normal block device. Read sectors, get a sector back, address them by LBAs, everything is fine. And then you have these new type of zones, which are called the write pointer zones. Write pointer zone is characterized by having a write pointer. And the idea of the write pointer zone is that you should be writing at the location pointed to by the write pointer. And here is where we differentiate two types for the write pointer zones. We have what's called the sequential write required, which means you can only send your write IOs to the location pointed to by the write pointer. If you don't, you'll generate an IO error. So the idea is you write sequentially, and every time you write, the write pointer gets updated to the next free LBA, and you can only write sequentially. The other type is what's called sequential write preferred. As long as you're writing sequentially and always at a write pointer, the write pointer will be there telling you where the next location is. But you're not required to. If you don't, then the drive will take care of it. And the write pointer becomes a undefined entity at that point. So let's look at how this looks in the drive model throughout. So typically you're going to have within a particular drive a combination of these zones. And if you're using a host aware or a host managed type solution, you can have conventional zones in both of them. And what distinguishes the host aware from the host managed is in the host managed, you'll have these sequential write required zones. So you're required to write sequentially on these zones. If you don't, you get an I/O error. So it's up to the host to manage the I/O patterns so that they satisfy the constraint that's intrinsic to the recording technology of SMR. Right? Hence the name host managed. In the host aware, what happens is the drive presents you these capabilities, the same capabilities that are presented in the host managed model for you to manage the drive. But if you choose not to, then the drive sort of takes over. And that's sort of the model for it. And they do it on a zone-by-zone basis. So when you look at a host-aware model, you'll have the sequential write preferred. So down here you have this picture where it shows a particular choice of how a device manufacturer might configure their product. You might have a certain amount of conventional zones that put in there in purple, and a certain number of sequential write zones. It could have been sequential write preferred or sequential write required, depending if it was a host aware or a host managed device. So get the picture overall. You have these independent zones. Zones can be written independently. Within a zone, there's a write pointer, and you're supposed to just fill it up from left to right, sequentially. If you're in a host managed, you have to do that, or you get an I/O error. And if you're in a host aware, you continue doing that. The moment that you deviate from that, all of a sudden the write pointer becomes undefined and the drive takes over management of that zone. Now, there's one way to recover that zone, which is through the execution of what's called a reset write pointer command. What a reset write pointer command does is it sets the write pointer back to the first LBA of the zone and invalidates all the data that's beyond it. So essentially, it's like an erase block, if you're familiar with SSD. Sort of that data is all invalid, and now you're coming back to the beginning. And this works in either model. So if you had written out of order a zone in a host aware scenario, and you say, oh, gee, I didn't mean to do that, I really wanted to manage it. Well, if you reset the write pointer in that zone and start writing again, then you're back into having the management features in that zone. If for a host-managed solution, the only way to overwrite data that you had written previously is to first reset the zone and then continue and then write those locations again. So, I've been talking about these, and then basically, these are the commands from the standard. I'm concentrating on the first two here. One is this called report zones, and the other is the reset write pointer that I talked about. Report zones, what it does is it informs the host what is the configuration of zones in a device. It also tells you, for all the sequential write, the write pointer zones, it tells you the value of the write pointer for all the zones. And remembering that in the host aware model, that some of those might be undefined, which in the standard says it's vendor unique, so each vendor makes a choice of what they do. when you wrote randomly in the zone. But typically this is the command you would do if you want to discover where the write pointers are. There's a couple of other here that have to do with zone conditions, and then you can open zones, close, and finish. I'm not going to go into the specific details of that. I'm going to concentrate more on the effect of the overall model and using those first two. So here's a picture in which I put side by side the three models, and I'm showing the same I/O patterns. So the first column refers to drive managed, the middle one host aware, and the one to the right host managed. And I'm depicting here three zones side by side on the device. So everything under the lower line is on the device. The middle is the I/O pattern and on top of the host. So let's look at the left column, which is drive managed. So there's no SMR management on the host per se. Right? The I/O patterns keep coming, and then, you know, left to right depicts location, bottom to top time or order, right? So you see these IOs are coming, and in the middle zone, you see that there's some IOs that are out of order in a sense that there's a little blue space that's a gap. It means that IO came that was not right at the right pointer, right? So when you look at how I'm depicting in the bottom a representation of the models, the drive always presents to the outside world an address space from a logical block address 0 to the max. And I'm talking about having this address space either being constrained or unconstrained. A drive managed model presents to the world an unconstrained view. And it makes the constraint portion completely opaque to the outside world, meaning you have no idea what's happening in the constrained space. Drive's doing stuff, moving data around, doing what it needs to do to satisfy the intrinsic physical recording constraints and the I/O pattern you sent. But you have no visibility. If you look at the far right in a host managed scenario, the host has to have full SMR management. And the drive does not have an unconstrained layer to present to you. It only has a constraint layer to present to you. And what happens is, as your I/O patterns come down, and you get an I/O that would violate the writing rules of a sequential write required zone, meaning your I/O is not at the location of the write pointer, that I/O generates an interface error. If you look at the middle guy, which is the host aware, and a good way of thinking about it is sort of a hybrid between the two, and this hybrid meaning that you can have a drive managed or a host managed model on a zone by zone basis. So if you look at the I/O pattern, which is the same as before, for the first zone, which was sequentially written, you have this unconstrained view, it's writing, but you have visibility of what's happening in the constraint world, because you're satisfying the rules and you still get the write pointer that's valid and tells you how much data was written. In the middle zone, where you have an I/O that's out of order, well, what happens is that it writes it, so you still have this view of the world on the unconstrained view, so you get your I/O back. However, you lost visibility as to what is happening in that zone. Did it stage it somewhere else? Has he put it back in place? What's happened? Well, you know, you have no idea. The drive internally is doing something to produce that unconstrained view for you, but you have no visibility of what that is. The moment you sent that out of order I/O, then you lost that visibility. But for the last zone, since you write that one sequentially as well, it gives you the sequential on the unconstrained view, but you have the visibility to the constraint, meaning your write pointer location is valid, and when you do report zones, you get the location of that write pointer. So these are, again, at a high level, the three models. And what I want to do now is spend a little time talking about what are the consequences of each one of those models. So let's start with the drive managed. That seems like, oh man, if that just solved all the problems, you know, we'd even not bother. So when we look at the drive managed, and we look at the typical type of I/O patterns, you'll see that if you're just doing sequential reads, it's going to be very similar to a normal SMR drive, PMR drive. Random reads are going to look similar. Sequential write is also similar because you're satisfying the constraint. Now, when you're doing random writes, well, you know, that's where your mileage might vary. And of course, you know, when you present this thing, you look, it's 3/4 the same. It doesn't, and then, but that 1/4, that was the most important. I mean, you're just killing me. Okay, so let's take a look at that 1/4 down there that's the most important, that's killing you. And I'm going to further divide it into 6 parts. So let's look at how I'm partitioning this. So I'm looking at having a low-duty cycle or a high-duty cycle. And I'm looking at having small blocks, large blocks, or what I'm calling huge blocks. Completely undefined, so I can change the numbers to fit what I'm saying. And the trick is, if you have small blocks, then a drive, by using simple caching techniques, can really take care of the access pattern. And actually, it's going to look like much better than we used to with PMR. And the reason for that is when you have large, very small blocks, the majority of the time of your I/O is spent locating the recording head to the position where you want to write. And very little time is spent really actually doing the reads or writes. So if you have a lot of small block random writes, you can use the simple technique of, well, I'll just write them sequentially in the cache area that I have. And then when I have a lot of them, then I can read them, a bunch of them, and destage them. And what happens is, as you have a large number of them, you get to decide the order in which you're going to write. And then you get to write them in the order of the closest one, and the next closest, and the next closest. So all your seeks that you would do, which is the majority of the time of a random write of a small block, they all got reduced. So all of a sudden, the overall time that you spend doing those IOs is much smaller. So you basically had no seek when you write them all, because you're sequentializing them. And you change the one big seek for a bunch of very small ones. So you end up actually being able to support much more random writes than you were with a normal PMR drive. And it's so much so that it doesn't even matter if you have a high duty cycle, because we really do it faster. You can actually support more IOPS. It's awesome. So this is that case. Now let's look at the huge blocks. Huge blocks, on the other hand, you spend so much time writing sequentially that the edge effect of when you started and versus the end kind of becomes smaller. And it starts looking a lot like just writing sequentially, which you can do easily in SMR time solutions. So those are not so bad. There's a bunch of techniques that you could use, you could envision being used in, under the hoods, that will give you something that looks good. Okay, what about, but I don't care, the important is the large block. You guys are killing me again, right? So in the large blocks, and this is what I'm defining by large, is something where the actual time you spend doing the I/O, writing the data, is an appreciable amount of the overall I/O command. So this is a situation in which your I/O time for the write is no longer dominated by the time to move mechanically the head to the position where you're going to start writing, but the amount of time you spend writing becomes an appreciable part of that as well. So when you do that, that little trick I said in the beginning, the math starts not adding up so much. Now, if you stage it somewhere and have to write it somewhere else, it starts getting a little bit more expensive to do that. The fact that you're doing the I/O twice starts being a heavy cost on you. And here, again, if your duty cycle is low, we can hide all manners of sin. We got the time, you're going to back up, you know, I got it, you know, I'll return you something, go back, fix it, and come back, and it all works. But when you have a high duty cycle, and you have these large blocks, then it's not so trivial. Then you can see where these simple caching techniques that I described, they're not going to really get you what you want. Furthermore, since the IOs are bigger, whatever caching space you had, you're going to run out of it much quicker. So that's where it gets a lot more tricky for a drive managed solution to take care of it. Now, there's a lot more techniques and things that can be done internally than the simple caching that I was describing. But it gives you a high-level idea of what are the things that are intrinsically hard to be dealt with in these solutions. So if you live in a world where you either have low-duty cycle, or you have only very small blocks, or very huge blocks, typically you have an expectation that, you know what, if I just plug in this guy, either a drive manage or a host aware where you're just using in drive manage mode, I might get away with it. If you are in a position where, no, you know, I have a lot of blocks that are larger, you know, several hundreds of Ks or, you know, megs, you know, not huge, where it looks like you're sitting in the same place, that's where you might want to dig in a little bit deeper and look at your solution and say, you know, is this going to fit my needs, or am I going to have to now look at the other alternatives where I do use the command set and try to massage my workload to fit my needs. Okay, so much for the drive manage model. Let's switch gears and talk about the host manage model. So the host manage model, as I mentioned before, it has this characteristics that it's a new device type. It's not backwards compatible. Out of order writes will generate interface errors. There's a lot of layers in the stack, a lot of little pieces of the plumbing between some initiator sending an I.O. and the actual device. They're going to be very unhappy because these things fail. And there's a lot of little bits and pieces for you to take care of. Now, how can you manage these and what types of solutions? Well, there's some that are hardware based. You get an appliance for someone and they're taking care of it for you, and they'll present you either, you know, a virtualized block interface, means SAS and doing a lot of everything on the back end, or they'll present you an NAS interface and you just talk about it, it's a filer and someone did it for you and you're just using it as a storage solution. Right? That's one option. If you're trying to build one of those yourself, then you're probably going to be looking more in the bottom categories where you're saying, well, how can I get so hardware that's not going to bomb on me when they see a new device type, and then what it'll have to change in software to make it work. And then there, I'm basically breaking down on kernel level support type activities and then application level support. And by that I mean, in kernel level, you can think of either doing something where you're dealing with the block layer and you're trying to virtualize the effects of SMR. So you're doing that sort of at the block layer, and then you have file systems and all everything on top of it. So you use something like a device mapper, and then you might implement what you would implement in HD there, or you might implement some forms of caching in there. Another approach is for you to go and say, no, what I'm going to do is most of my applications access storage through a file system, so I'm going to go and design a file system that knows how to deal with these type of devices, and that's the one that's going to do the heavy lifting for me. And then my application stack on top of that is just going to continue unchanged. I might have to tweak some parameters to make it work. So that's another approach you might take. And then you'll see currently there are efforts in, you know, all of these kind of directions. You know, there was some support for XFS that's planned and, you know, no time announced, so don't hold your breath on it. There are some projects that are branching off of existing file systems and making modifications to them to satisfy what is needed to support SMR type drives. There are new file system projects that are out there and people coming out with solutions. And then there's all the other ones on the device mapper type implementations. And you're going to see a lot of these types of solutions in the other talks, you know, today and then tomorrow as well. Now the other approach is, well, I'm not going to modify the kernel and I'm not going to rely on the kernel infrastructure because of this new device type. I'm going to manage everything in application space. And to do that, what you do is you talk directly through a SGIO interface and then you talk directly to the drive. There's a set of new commands that you can use and you build your own solution. Downside of that is you lose a lot of the kernel facilities. So there's no caching, like you have to bypass the page cache, you don't have a file system, you're talking about the raw device yourself. But if you're doing things like large objects in a distributed object storage type solution, you might do, you know, like a local key value store that talks directly to the drive and manages everything on their own. That might be an approach that you might take. If you're taking that approach, there is an open source project that's a library in user space that honestly what it does is it wraps the new interface commands into a C interface, so that you don't have to know how to populate the CDB yourself using the SGIO. You just use these commands that basically just wrap those for you. And if you're interested in this, you can go to GitHub, and then you can download a project, playing around, and then there are some example applications. There's a few GUI applications that tell you the states of the zones in your drives. You can use this as a development tool and write your own, etc. So if you're interested in learning more, you can talk to me after this, and then I can give you some more information. You can talk to the gentleman over there, Damien Lemoel, who's the main maintainer of that project. But again, these are the solutions, or the, let's say, the main avenues that you have today if you're choosing this host-managed approach. Okay? You know, I've seen a lot of heads, people enthusiastic. They already picked which one of the two. They say, this solves all my problem. And I see some that they're maybe holding out. Okay, but there's that last model. Maybe that's going to be easier. Okay, so let's talk about it. So we have the last model, which is this host-aware model. As I told you before, the host-aware model is it's sort of this superset of the two in a hybrid mode, where on a zone-by-zone basis, you can decide to be in drive-manage mode or in host-manage mode. It has this advantage that it is backwards compatible, and it does implement the new standard commands for you to manage the zones. And how would this look in practice? Well, what ends up happening is if you have a host that is not aware of SMR, basically what you're going to get is a device that works in drive manage mode. Your device doesn't know that it is an SMR. Your host doesn't know it's an SMR device. It's going to write the same I/O pattern that you've been writing before. And some things are going to come out of order, some things are going to come in order. And you have no visibility, use none of the commands, so essentially you're using a drive manage mode of that solution. Now the tricky part, and this is where what happens when you do have a host system that is aware of SMR? Well, what you get really is what I call a configurable host managed device. In a host-managed device, the location of zones, be it conventional or sequential write required, they're not chosen by the host. They're chosen by the device manufacturer at manufacturing time. The report zones command is used to inform the host of what was the decision that cannot be changed. So, I want more conventional zones, I'm sorry. It's you get what you get and you don't make a fuss. That's the model for host managed. When you're talking about host aware, you have this freedom where you got the information about the zone layout. They all start in this host managed mode. All the sequential write, all the write pointer zones do. A host aware device might have conventional zones that don't have write pointers associated with them, but for the write pointer zones, you can treat them all as if they were sequential write required if you choose to. However, if in your implementation, you know, I had this host managed device before, but I really would hope that, you know, this zone at the end of the device, or if I had a few in the middle because I use these partitioning techniques and I really wanted the manufacturer to do a host managed, that it fits all my needs, except that I wanted a little conventional zone here, here, or here. You're not going to get that done in a host-managed device. There's too many needs and too many different people wanting their conventional zones in different places and in different ways, and it's impossible for device manufacturers to have configurations that are going to fit everyone's needs. And that's really where a host-aware type solution comes in. You get to choose which are going to be in drive-managed mode and host-aware mode. Then you say, well, but drive manage mode is not the same as conventional zone because, you know, conventional zone, I assume that you guys are doing just PMR. Nothing in the standard says that. bear in mind. Conventional zone just means that there's no write pointers associated with it, and it's going to satisfy the normal interface commands as usual. How the drive implements that is up to the device manufacturer. So, number one, so in a host managed device with a certain amount of conventional zone, you might really be getting some SMR zone in the beginning with drive management that makes it look good. So there's no guarantee. So that's number one. Number two is you're going to most likely have differences in experience. They're going to vary in the amount of zones you choose to manage as a host or use in drive manage mode where the drive manages it. If you think of a device that was built to be able to deal with the whole device working in drive manage mode, whatever caching schemes, whatever over-provisioning, whatever mechanisms were in place, were designed to give this good performance for random writes happening throughout the surface. If you were to restrict those into a small portion of the device, you can think it's very likely that the drive will have an easy time giving you good performance for those. You can also imagine that the more of the proportion of the drive that you put in this mode that the drive has to handle with it, the more it's going to look like just a drive managed device. So one of the other issues that we have encountered with this overall model, or the zone block device model, you know, and feedback with a lot of folks is, you know, you have this solution which is the drive does everything and I don't know, have no control, it's hard for me to use. Or you have this one where, oh, I have to do everything. And that's kind of hard. It doesn't really fit a lot of the programming paradigms that I've been using. And then we say, well, but you have host aware, right? You know, and they say, well, host aware isn't really much better because the tools you give me are still, the host has to manage it. Or I let the drive manage it. I can just choose what fraction of the drive is in one of those extreme modes. But it's not like there's other types of commands in there, right? So one of the things that it would be interesting, you know, this is for all of you guys to think about as you experiment with these and build solutions and say, oh, if I only had this type of feature, this other type of, it'd be nice for us to know. So we're wrapping up this, but 5 years from now, we'll have an update to this. And then you'll get to say something. Okay, we're coming back to the 10 minutes of Q&A. All right. So, in summary, this is what I wanted to say. It's SMR looks to everyone like, oh, this thing, this hard thing I have to deal with. And when those things come around, it really is an opportunity. There's going to be those who figure out how to deal with it and can take advantage of technology. And there are going to be those which, you know, they just wait around until someone else figures it out. They'll buy the solutions from the ones who figured it out. So it's time to choose in which camp you want to be. And that's all I had to say. Questions?
Can you comment on the relative advantage aerial density wise of SMR versus non-SMR?
It's a good question. It's a pertinent question. I give you these graphs that they look awesome, right? Awesome. There it is. Crystal clear. Isn't it? Yeah. So what I can tell you today is we have a product that's an 8 terabyte product, and we have a 10 that's not SMR, and we have a 10 terabyte product that is SMR. So these are announced products from HGST. So that gives you an idea. The actual number of what is the aero density gain, these are things that we don't quantify, not because, oh, we're trying to, it's because it's really freaking hard. There's going to be estimates, and they vary. And then you talk about, you know, talk to folks, and some are very optimistic, so you're going to get 30, 40% differences ongoing. Others say, well, maybe not so much. Maybe it's just that the slopes are all getting smaller, and the advantage is going to be more on the time axis, that you're going to get the same capacity point, you know, a year earlier than if you don't use SMR. So those are the type of discussions you're going to end up having. But I have a particular, you know, two product numbers that you can draw conclusions from. Any more questions? Yeah?
So, I mean, Jim just talked a little about the same topic. At what point does the drive get so big that a rebuild problem just becomes completely unmanageable? Like, because if I use 10 terabytes of data, and I have to rebuild that from a Stripe system or something.
So, that's a good question. That's not so related to SMR per se, but it's a problem that we in the HDD industry have been working very diligently and very hard to make worse and worse year by year. And the reality is that a lot of folks, you know, of our customers in the industry are getting to the conclusion that, you know, RAID-type solutions after a certain capacity size start making less and less sense. So the way around it is to use other type of solutions where you basically use declustered approaches, where, you know, it could be RAID or erasure coding if you have more than one block of redundancy. But basically, the stripes, if you will, they are separated into different HDDs in a pool at any given time. If you lose a particular drive, then the rebuild is not rebuild everything to one single drive, because writing one single of these drives, you know, takes a while. And the way we promote this is saying, look, I guarantee you that you're not going to be able to use it up in less than a month. But what happens is that you just rebuild a little piece in different places of your spare capacity at time. Right? So these are the type of solutions that you're going to have to be using as these drives get bigger and bigger. We're already at a point where it's uncomfortably big. Yes.
So when we are writing in one of these three models, especially in the post matrix, we got this right pointer. And don't you manage?
Yes.
Skipping?
Yes.
All that stuff?
Yes, yes. So, I mean, these are the type of things. The typical drives today, they have spares. When we find these, we reallocate that one sector to a different place. And then they're usually located throughout the surface, so it's not really far from its original location. But, you know, with certain granularity. So that same mechanism is going to be used for SMR. You can imagine that those are going to have a little bit more tricky, because you're going to have to space that zone out a little bit more, because you're going to have to write those sectors independently. So you'll see that, you know, it's going to be tricky for device manufacturers. They'll to put that in place.
Is one of those three modes advantageous to deal with these types of problems?
I don't think that anyone is particularly better than the other in respect of dealing with defects. I would say that drive-managed solutions or host-aware solutions are going to have a lot of the infrastructure built in place to dealing with redirecting of IOs in different place. So probably you'll feel a lot less of that effect versus a host-managed. It's always put in place, and every now and then if there's something that has to go and read somewhere else, that is only going to happen because of defects, so it might have more of a visible impact to you. From host managed versus others? So,
most of the, what I'm also trying to reduce IO by function on the data, essentially becoming more low function. And they're already functional, and IO to a large IO. So they already have.
and goes to rating versus them, you can easily identify the right scribe on the sun, in which case the rating system should only write for four scribes, i.e. four sons, especially.
We have a use case called, let's say, cold storage, and operated by a container driver. Just want to write sequential. The ideal thing, the most efficient from IO ops and power and time to think the job would be was managed.
So, it's likely to be very similar. The advantage of host manage in general, from a system point of view, is since it's easier for a device manufacturer to implement it, there's a good chance that you'll see products that are of that mode for a certain capacity point coming sooner. And also, you are guaranteed that you're not going to have any rewriting in the background. If you have applications that are very time sensitive and you need to have that control, a host managed solution is going to be more adequate. So those would be the kind of two advantages I see. You might get a better deal on the host managed from availability, maybe pricing, and you have more absolute control. So if an IO is on error, it's an IO error and you fix your application. When you have the host managed or host aware or drive managed, it just happens in the background and you'll see it as small hiccups here and there. And if your solution is deploying a lot of these in an environment, that might be something that's more of a concern for you. But it's definitely harder for you to incorporate. Right.
Is there any ballpark performance measurements on the delta?
Between?
Take a standard workload and look at the IOPS or the latency delta between host managed and drive managed.
So that's a difficult question because the I/O patterns that you can have in host managed are limited versus drive managed, right? So if you
it's not because you would just use that as your baseline. You can't compare what you can't do. So you
right.
Host managed.
Yeah. So
and then run it drive managed.
Yep. So what I was going to say follow up is so you have to look at let's look at this. The set of workloads which you can do that. So most of these workloads where you have mixed workloads and all that, the writes are all out of order. So you can't do any of those. You can do sequential writes, and that's back to the drive manage picture I had, right? If you're writing sequentially, it looks all the same. If you're reading sequentially, it looks all the same. If you're reading randomly, it looks all the same. And if you're writing, then, if you're writing randomly, then it gets tricky.
If we don't do random writes, though, is there a performance delta?
In theory, the interface standard and SMR per se probably don't imply a difference. Now, take that with a big asterisk. Fine print. Various manufacturers might choose to take advantage of the fact that you can only write sequentially to implement a lot of other techniques that can squeeze more capacity. They might have impact on your performance. Disclaimer.
<Yeah. laughs>
I got the out of time sign. The next session starts in 10 minutes, and I'll be around.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions about the material presented in this podcast, be sure and join our developers mailing list by sending an email to developers-subscribe@snea.org. Here you can ask questions and discuss this topic further with your peers in the developer community. For additional information about the Storage Developer Conference, visit storagedeveloper.org.